Tell Us Where It Hurts, a conversation around health, well-being, and the many ways people across Central Indiana are offering a helping hand. I'm your host, Chris Kirshner, and today's conversation is about expanding access to urban parks and green spaces.
Governor Eric Holcomb announced today communities and nonprofits across Indiana will receive nearly $30 million for 70 miles of new trail development.
We want to continue to make investments in these very localized amenities. And parks sure are not just popular, but they're a great way for people to get out and get exercise, clear your head, spend time with the family. And we've got so much beauty surrounding us. People are excited to get out and experience the great outdoors and take a deep breath of fresh air.
Joining us for this conversation, Jeremy Kranowitz. Jeremy is a passionate sustainability and environmental nonprofit executive with over 25 years' experience launching multi-stakeholder coalitions to address climate change, food loss and waste, clean air and water, and sustainable forestry. Jeremy currently serves as president and CEO of Keep Indianapolis Beautiful, the largest affiliate in the Keep America Beautiful Network, where he leads the effort on a new strategic plan to create a more environmentally equitable city. And Antonia Sawyer. Antonia has been able to lead a successful career in community development by assisting exceptional leaders in the development and implementation of both innovative and traditional programming within their communities. As the founder and CEO of the Indiana-based nonprofit Ship Happens, and the director of the Hoosier Health and Wellness Alliance through the Indiana Clinical and Translational Sciences Institute at IU School of Medicine, Antonia seeks to engage her coalition and the networks to further improve the overall health of Hoosier families. I am so delighted to have the two of you here. Thanks so much for being here.
Thanks for inviting us.
In this discussion, I think it's important to define green space in the context of what we're talking about. So what is green space?
So green space really can be defined as a place where community can gather and interact with nature. It could be as small as a vacant lot. It could be as large as a multi-hundred-acre park. So the size doesn't actually matter as much as what's in it.
So how does it affect, then, health and well-being, especially of our Hoosiers?
Well, I think when you think about urban surroundings and a lot of buildings and cement and pollution, when you have a chance to connect with nature, it really can impact several things. It can impact physical activity, it can impact nutrition, mental health, and just your overall well-being. And so I think it's extremely important to be able to connect with nature, whether it's urban, rural. I can't say enough about having access to parks as far as increasing our well-being. So
we don't do so well, though, it seems like, as Hoosiers, at least being healthy or utilizing what we have. And I say that because the data shows that about a third of Indiana residents are obese, about a third physically inactive, and so we're among the top 10 states nationally for the highest rates of physical inactivity. So is that because we don't have enough of these spaces, or what's the big problem here?
You know, I would think it would be the way we look at obesity and kind of our opportunity and where we live. It really has to do with our social determinants and what's available to us. And so, yes, unfortunately, Indiana is within the top 10 most inactive states. And I think that's what's important about what Hoosier Health and Wellness Alliance has been trying to do with park spaces is making physical activity and nutrition more accessible through green space. So when we have green spaces, we can have gardens, we can have trees, we can have flowers, and we can have access to things that promote us to be physically active. So
I would just also add that I think it's also true that in Indianapolis in particular, we do not have as much green space and park space as other comparable cities. Part of that is that there have been budget discussions over time to emphasize other things that the city wants to invest in rather than parks. So compared to other cities, we invest less in our parks and recreation department than comparable cities do. So there is a organization that rates cities in terms of access to green space, and Indianapolis fares poorly in those ratings. So that's another important piece of the puzzle. Part of it is what activity we actually are doing, and the other is there opportunity and access to those places?
Absolutely.
I will say I'm a native of Indianapolis. Okay, I've lived here all my life. And what I've noticed is that we've kind of grown in a lot of those areas. I see a lot more bike trails than I ever used to see. I see a lot of the smaller communities as they're, you know, rethinking what they look like and feel like and wanting to attract families, you know, walking trails and building up their parks for families. So to me, I see a lot of improvements that have happened, at least in my lifetime here. So tell me a little bit from your perspective, are we on a good path? Are we heading down a good path toward that end?
I think we're on a great path. The communities that I've been able to work with, leading the Hoosier Health and Wellness Alliance, it's been incredible to watch them understand the importance and learn the importance of recreational space and how to be empowered enough to take over and be like, hey, what are we doing with those spaces? How can I help my parks board? How can I develop one? How can I kind of go through these process and understand that connecting with the Indiana Division of Natural Resources and Indiana Park and Rec Association and kind of leveraging the expertise across the state can impact their community. And that's really my favorite part is watching communities go, wait, we do have recreational space and what are we doing with it? And how can I change how it's being managed or just increase access to it? So absolutely, I've seen it. Wonderful impact across the state.
Keep Indianapolis Beautiful has over the years created 65 green spaces ourselves. Some of them have been, you know, maybe a third of an acre. Some of them are multi-acre parcels. One of the important pieces to consider, though, is that there is an equity issue here to address. And so in neighborhoods, for example, that were historically redlined for real estate reasons, we have far less available green space and park space in those places, whether that was done intentionally or whether that was a consequence of underinvestment over the years. So while there has been, I think, an overall trend that is positive, there is a lot more work to do. And I would say that it is not equitably distributed. And so one of the things that we're doing at KIB is really thinking about where are the parts of the city that need and want more green space the most. It's actually both. It's both needing it and it's not just wanting it, but it's also needing it and trying to figure out how we can leverage resources to create green spaces in the places where we will create more equity across the city.
Jeremy, I like how you mentioned, too, that when we talk about green spaces, we're talking about a vast range of sizes. You know, it could be just a small space, but no matter how big it is, there's a benefit to it, right? And I loved, Antonia, that you kind of named off some of those benefits, and I want to talk a little bit more about those. So does it have to be a place where we're physically active, where we have a trail, or we have places where we're actually doing things, or can it just be a space that we visit that helps our overall mental well-being?
So I'll jump in. I think one of the interesting things is that we sometimes will work with a community and say, here's a vacant lot. It has been vacant. Nobody is clamoring to develop it. The surrounding community would love for it to be a green space, and they partner with KIB to create it. And we co-create it with them. And so in some cases, it could be an older neighborhood where they don't want a seesaw and an active engagement, but they do want maybe a walking path, and they want to see plants that are attracting pollinators like butterflies and other beneficial insects. So it can be very serene and not active engagement. There could be other places where they say, we actually do have a lot of young children and we would love to have a seesaw or something mm-hmm. equivalent put in here where there's a place for active engagement. So I think that varies from place to place. But one thing that I just want to add, and which is an interesting element, is that there have been studies that show that if we have a better tree canopy overhead, our blood pressure is lower. So just by having more trees around us, we are calmer. And
I love that notion.
Yes, but it has secondary health impacts. Obviously, we are healthier if we're not so agitated. And so just creating some of those small interventions, even on a small scale, can have a big difference.
I love that.
I agree. And I think in working with communities, it's really what they need and what they want to do with their space. And so when you have rural communities that don't have a lot of resources, maybe they can't afford to put in a large park or a workout equipment. So maybe they have little pocket parks or little pocket spots where you can go and enjoy grass and trees and bugs. But it's not necessarily a pull-up bar and all those, you know, other outdoor workout equipment. And I think it's just really what they are looking to do. A lot of communities are interested in trails and wayfinding signs, but some of them are still doing walk audits to see if they can put a sidewalk in or if they even have capacity for a trail. So I think it really has to do with what the community is able to do, willing to do, and I'm there for it. I'm there for all of it. I love that piece of it, too. So,
what should we strive for as a community for Indianapolis, for example, or the state of Indiana? How much of our space should be green space?
I actually think it's where the population is and how far they have to go to get to a green space. So to Antonia's point, if there isn't a sidewalk and there isn't an easy way to walk or bike or otherwise get there, then it actually ought to be a space that's really close by within walking distance. If there is easy access to public transport or other means to go a little bit farther, it could be a bigger park that's farther away. But for us, from Keep Indianapolis Beautiful's perspective, we're thinking about where the population is dense and is there a really good green space that they have access to.
Can you talk about the struggles or the challenges, I guess, in a community? Because you do need the development, I guess, to some extent, right?
In some communities, they have a land deficit. They have more people than they have land, acreage to be able to utilize. And so we are all about innovation. So how can we say, okay, we need more active living space, but we don't have it? Shared use agreement, how can we start leveraging school playgrounds, school swimming pools? And that's really where a parks board can come in very handy because they can help get those shared use agreements legalized and really oversee them. And so I think we have to say, okay, we are going to run into some challenges, but how can we be innovative, think outside the box, and get creative? So that's really how we do it. And it's a case-by-case basis, so community by community.
Jeremy, you talked about, and I didn't mean to interrupt you, but you talked about the inequities and some of the work that Keep Indianapolis Beautiful is doing to kind of leverage some of the green space. Can you talk a little bit more about that and some of the other things you guys have in the works?
Yeah, I think one of the things that is important for us as we are thinking about how to make a more equitable city is to work with developers who are creating new spaces and make sure that there is an emphasis on creating good green space. So it is not sufficient in our minds that for a developer to just sort of stick a couple of sickly trees in the ground and say, well, that was good, and walk away, and yeah, 6 months later they're dead. We make sure that if we are planting trees or if we are creating a green space, that we are actively maintaining it over time, because that's the important part, is to make sure that
the sustainability of it all
is so critical. I would add that one of the things that we are really conscious of and we've been thinking about, though, is that one of the other side effects of having more green space and having more park area is that there is a correlation with higher property values. So we are also very conscious of trying to make sure that we are not going in to gentrify a particular neighborhood to price people out that have lived there for many years. And so that's one of the things that we have to weigh. There are a huge list of benefits, health benefits, all kinds of other benefits that accrue. And there are some other aspects of this that we have to weigh and make sure that we're not causing any displacement.
And Antonia, from your perspective, what kind of things are you guys working on?
We want to make sure that we're inclusive of all individuals within the community and making sure that equity is at the forefront and that all populations and everyone has a chance to weigh in. We also have joined the Indiana Parks and Rec Association with their Social Equity Committee. They are dedicated to ensuring social equity across the park and recreational space across Indiana. So that is something new that we've also participated in. But one of the main things I wanted to make sure of was that, to your point, that we don't leave anybody out, and that when we are putting in park spaces or we are kind of altering spaces within communities, that we're not gentrifying, that we're not eliminating folks and creating another problem.
Do you find a lot of support from the communities? Because I feel like when it comes to green space, people are really passionate about, you know, hanging on to a space that is there or making sure that we have enough of it. Or am I just hearing the same people over and over again? Is there a wide support base within the communities?
We find that there's always interest in having more green space. There have been hospitals that have looked at, like, if you are recovering and you look out your window and you see parking lot, or you look out your window and you see tree canopy, you have a better, you have a shorter recovery time if you have nature out your window. I think the challenge to a point that I just made earlier is that sometimes we can engage with a community. They are so excited when a new green space is created, and working with them to make sure that the sustainability happens, because inevitably there are shortfalls from, you know, different budgets in different places. And so it sometimes is up to the community to help maintain and keep those spaces vibrant. And that's the challenge. So I was actually having a conversation with Bob Osley on the city council, who I love this story, by the way. But he was taking his 96-year-old mother to church, same church she's gone to her whole life. Pastor was saying, you know, there's all this litter in the neighborhood by the church and the city isn't doing its job. And he said, so he bit his tongue, drove his mom home. He said, you know, mom, in your day, what would you have done? And she said, what do you mean? We would have gone across the street and picked
cleaned it up.
He said, right. So he said, I dropped my mom off. I went back to church. I went to the pastor. I said, you are my spiritual leader, but human to human, you're wrong. It is the city's responsibility and it is our responsibility. Mm-hmm. And so therefore, if we want the area around our church to look nice, guess what? You have to tell us that it's our moral obligation to go mm-hmm. make the area around our church look better. I'm like, I agree with you 100%. Wow. 100%. So it is working. Sometimes it is with the community influencers. It could be the local house of worship. It could be the, you know, the community center. It could be a Y, it could be a number of different other venues where people are gathering anyway, and looking to the leadership at those institutions to say, hey, if we want our neighborhood to look great and we want this green space to look great, guess what? We can't just rely on others to keep it up. We actually have a role to play as well.
Oh, wow. I think that's in my strategic brain, that's the difference between coordination and collaboration. And even faith-based communities can collaborate. They have a different, they might worship in a different way, but it all streamlines back to the same purpose and the same, you know, fundamentals. And so I think if Indiana could collaborate a little bit more, we'd have more space. It's just, but to your point, it's like, well, this is mine. This is my square and I'm responsible for this. I'm not responsible for that over there. Well, yes, you are. This is your city. This is your town. This is the oxygen that you're breathing. And so it makes it pretty important when you think about it like that.
Well, I wonder if it's a if you build it, they will come philosophy too, not just maintaining it, but utilizing it. I mean, obviously, we can always improve our health, especially in Indiana, in central Indiana. And that's what we're trying to do is connect, you know, these spaces with health outcomes. So, you know, how do you get people to come, you know, those horses to come to water, if you will, once we have these green spaces available?
I think that's what's the important part about placement and how you go about your project. I think once you have the buy-in from the community, you have the resources to sustain it, and you've put that care and the back work, I call it, all that front leg work that you're getting done, that's how you get that buy-in and excitement. And then they do come because you're building something that they want and something that they need. You're not coming in and dropping a program or dropping a park. You're building a sense of community and another place for them to enjoy birthday parties and get some exercise and meditate and all those things. So I think it's extremely important to make sure that you're just including your community in that. And it sounds like everyone in this room is doing that.
I would add, though, something interesting is that there are some secondary benefits to consider. So one is, and we've found this ourselves, is around issues of safety. And so there could be a vacant property or an abandoned property that is attracting crime and is attracting a number of things that neighborhoods don't want. And just the simple fact of creating that green space and having people that have their eyes on it displaces folks that are up to no good and has a very positive influence on overall crime rates. We've got one green space we created that had been a trailer park, which had fallen into
disrepair,
mm-hmm. and had been a site for prostitution and drug deals, and was a really unsafe block. And the city came in and raised it all, and then we created a green space, and now it's like a place for kids to play. And like the moms were coming out, and mm-hmm. you know, like I would not allow my kid outside.
Wow.
Yeah.
And right? now,
and now,
a complete 180.
Right. The other is an interesting one, which is that there are a number of environmental pollutants that are in the soil, in the water, in the air, and just the simple fact of creating a playground with a new layer of mulch actually in some cases is creating enough of a new barrier that if there were toxins in the soil and children were digging in the dirt, they're not actually having access to that. So they have improved health outcomes from things like wow. lead or mercury that might have been in the soil from decades past. Having more trees and plants is helping to clean and filter the air. And so kids who might have been asthmatic mm-hmm. might have lower levels of particulates in the air, and so they're breathing better. So there are some of it, to your point of build it and they will come, build it and actually their health outcomes will improve that
whether
way.
Whether they're
actively lifting weights or
right.
doing jumping jacks or not.
That's amazing. It's not just something, it's not just an aesthetic. It's actually improving those health outcomes just by being there.
That's right.
That's fantastic. That's fantastic. So what can we do? As communities, what should we be doing, you know, to be supportive?
Make requests to organizations like Keep Indianapolis Beautiful and others to see what resources we can bring. Because oftentimes there are things that we can do to bring them, but we don't ever want to go to a neighborhood and force something upon a neighborhood. We want the neighborhood to request it. So neighborhoods can and should request more of those green spaces and see what we can bring. It might not be tomorrow, it might not be 6 months from now, but we will try to see what we can do to improve that neighborhood and those spaces. So that's part of it. And I think just engagement in the community overall, whether that's with a house of worship or the local community center or what have you, to gather people together and see what we can do collectively and co-create a space, we'll end up in better outcomes.
Absolutely. And for us, I'm going to say, come to the Hoosier Health and Wellness Alliance Parks Board Working Group. We are actively working with around 8-10 counties now to either build parks boards or spruce up the 5-year master plans and get people thinking about recreational space in their county. We're working with Purdue Extension with enhancing the value of public spaces. It's a great program to kind of see what do we have in our community, who's using it, who's not, why not, and how can we improve access and utilization of those areas and really ask questions. Ask your parks board, what is your plan? How can I get involved? If you're on a coalition, gather up some volunteers and go clean up those spaces, sustain those spaces, adopt it for a year. I think there's just countless things folks could do to get involved at the county level for sure.
Wonderful. Well, Antonia Sawyer, Jeremy Kranowitz, thank you so much, first of all, for being here and your insight, but also for what you're doing for our communities. Really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. This was fun.
It was.
Thanks a great
for having
time.
Us.
I'd like to thank our guests for being part of today's discussion, and thank you for being part of our journey as we all become better listeners. I'm Chris Kirshner, and this has been Tell Us Where It Hurts. Until next time.